welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got a little bit more marketing to do, and then we'll get into the content. We'll start off with... let me see here. Actually, I don't know the chronological order yet because I got to lay that out tomorrow. But I think I want to say the cod fishery bounties is first, but it might be the Assumption Act because those two are pretty close. Now, the Whiskey Rebellion would be last because that actually stretched out to 1794. And so not knowing exactly what day this occurred, what day that occurred, but I do, I'm pretty sure it was 1791 or 1792. Now, Madison's paragraph, or I keep on calling it a paragraph, but it's actually an essay. It's a little over a page, but it helps place context to how the framers looked at property. Most people just consider property today as land. And some people actually extend it out to, you know, their money and their assets, and that's considered your property, especially if you have a little bit of education regarding, you know, the market and business and those types of things. But kids today, they don't understand property. They just think that means, you know, physical land. Anywho, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And you're listening to the only show that will give you the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions. Our comment line is 425-270-5416. And if you have any questions, feedback, or comments, then by all means, give us a call. Now, I'm not a hater, but bottom line, I try to look at things as pragmatically as possible, but we all have our own biases, and I'm going to tell you that as you listen to me regarding, you know, Mohammedans, or you listen to me regarding illegal aliens and so forth, it doesn't mean that I want these people dead. I believe everybody deserves the full extent of life genetically that the good Lord gave them to be able to find the truth and to be able to come unto Him. And so killing somebody and doing some harm or those types of things, I mean, that's antithetical to liberty. That's antithetical to letting these people find the truth. And hopefully they're able to safely migrate away from what we would call their, you know, if they're Mohammedan, their current faith and their current belief system, so that they can actually be partake of, you know, the light of Christ and the gospel, and, you know, living by, you know, his example, commandments, and so forth. Anyway, I know that when, you know, sometimes when you talk, you don't have a chance to create all the fine print, the legalese, and what have you. But I do know one thing. I do know that we are on the precipice, and we do not have a lot of time. I don't know what is keeping people, because I do know that the listenership is a little bit higher than we're getting in response. I did find out that I do have John Birchers that listen to this show because I criticize them, and they want to know what I have to say so that they can, you know, defend themselves, or they can use that against me, because that's the kind of confrontational types of people that they are. I can tell you 2 years ago, and I'm going to be actually doing another presentation soon, and I'm expecting the John Birchers to show up, and they're going to try to obviate and try to get people to look back at my first book. The first book didn't even call it Republic Review. It was still just a thought. I wrote my first book in 3 months. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but technically, when I used the original font in 8.5 by 11 layout and compressed it to 6 by 9, That took that book to over 700 pages. I had to actually condense, I had to manually go through it and get the font down by two. I think it was 11 and we took it down to nine. If you look at the white space and everything, it's 500 and some odd pages. That book that I wrote in 3 months. And so it was really just throwing all of this stuff with my father, who was still alive at the time when I was kind of laying, doing the storyboard for it. You know, he wanted to make sure I talked about, you know, the Plato and the Republic and the philosophies. And so that's what caused that whole first book to be added to. So my first book actually has four books. It's the historical narrative of liberty, and then the innovation of a new form of government. I forget the technical term of the book, but the next one is, I think it's called A String of Kings. And the fourth book, the final book in the first book, is a constitutional problem to our unconstitutional crisis, or something like that. You know, I'm just paraphrasing even my own work, just because I haven't read it. And I wrote that and kind of walked away. We kind of did a little bit of a sale, but I realized that as soon as I finished that book, then people wanted to know, well, how do we do this? So in 2012, I wrote that book in 3 months and in 2013 and published it in 2013. And then the second book, it took me about a month to write, which kind of lays out the strategy and everything else. And I had that published in 2014. So right after that. And then I was going to start writing the third book. But then that's when I retired, and that's when we moved to help my mom. And so we had to kind of take a little bit of a delay. And in the process, because I didn't have time to write, what I ended up doing was I started working with people, and they started nitpicking, which was really good. It helped me find some problems that, because again, when I wrote that first book, I was completely naive to this hell-bent war between the John Birchers and the Convention of States, and how they were calling each other traitors. I mean, the visceral and the the emotions and what is being expressed. As a matter of fact, I was speaking to a senator from Montana that jumped from the Convention of States to actually being an anti-conventionite. And she was saying that, man, she has been attacked by these old friends of hers. And she just couldn't believe the hate. And I go, see, now maybe you can understand what I went through when I jumped into this, not even knowing that there was this huge war. I just thought that we were all conservatives. We all just had different views, but I didn't think that there were enemies and there was this huge war. But I did see things in a purely an academic and pragmatic look and view, and I still do. And so here's the interesting thing, is that when I wrote that book, I really thought that people loved America more than their organization. But come to find out, that's not true. More people are putting party over America. More people are putting their their institution over our Constitution. And so now I see that we are the problem, because we're so driven by what we define ourselves. I'm a Republican. I'm a John Bircher. I am a child of God. I am his, you know, I am made by him, and I hold his DNA. I mean, he has put the same kind of DNA sequencing, obviously some differences, but I mean, he is the master. He is the creator. And clearly, we have to start understanding that we are all brothers and sisters, regardless of our race, regardless of our differences. We are all in this together, as we have, and here's the word, not Darwinism evolved, but we have all evolved into these different races, cultures, and so forth. And as we continue to go down this path of division, we have divided ourselves as Americans into all of these separate factions. We got to stop this. We have to step aside, and if we're to save our liberty, we must. And that's a capital M-U-S-T, all caps. We must put aside our differences. We must put aside our self-interests. That means the institutions that we're associated with. And we have to put liberty and individual sovereignty as our foremost objective. We have to work together if we're going to preserve these for our children. Period. This is what the framers did, and this is what we have to do. So I kind of came into this in that perspective, because for 34 years in the intelligence community, I worked in the intelligence community for 34 years. So we couldn't get political. We couldn't get associated or affiliated with these, the John Birch Society or even the parties. We were, if you want to say apolitical, we had to be sterile. So when I wrote these books, I was just really coming out of the sterile world thinking that, oh, I'm going to be, you know, in the arms of the conservatives, this whole sea, and then come to find out I jump into it and it is divided. I fall to the bottom and go, what the heck happened? When I got into the Spokane area, I was blown away by how divided they were from the Constitution Party. I mean, people couldn't even get, they refused to get along. Some of it's driven by religion. Some of it's driven by economics. Some of it's driven by culture. I mean, it's driven by all these crazy things that should not have an impact when it comes to preserving our individual liberty and our individual sovereignty. So anyway, I'll wrap it up when we come back from the break, and then we'll get into the news. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so you got to understand that the reason I started going down this path was because of how leadership, not that, so there's quite a few John Birchers that actually support Republic Review. They have no qualms with the constitutionality, what we're doing, and that type of thing. But the leadership, for some reason, because I actually went to them. I went to them in 2017, 2018, the very beginning, when I just started on Red State Talk Radio, and asked them, hey, I'd like your position on this. Here is the distilled argument. Now that I've definitized this, not the books, The books were just, you know, more ideological, you know, just informational. It wasn't the map. It wasn't the complete layout. I mean, I didn't, like I said, I didn't even come up with a name until this book two. And in book two, after I was already kind of been accused of being a fan and or calling for an Article 5 convention, I said, no. So I clarified that in the beginning of that book. But then again, I didn't do that good of a job because, you know, I was in more of a hurry. I was still working full time and so forth. But anyway, I figured, well, book three, Reclaiming the Republic, is going to get into the nuts and details. So, like I said, when we moved up here, I started doing that. And that's when I started getting under the attack of the leadership. So I wanted to go to the leadership of the John Birch Society. And Trevor Lawton actually went to Art Thompson, the CEO of the John Birch Society, sat down with him and gave him the distilled, you know, argument and the distilled process is which what you find online. Now, we've changed it a little bit, but I have the history. I've maintained the, what do you want to call it, the versions of what that original version was. And so you can see that it really hasn't changed. We've only added clarifications. And so the process hasn't changed. And it's not what GR wants to do. This is what the states need to do. This is their process. They own this. They have to kick this off. And anybody that understands auditing and contractual, you know, work, contractual problems and how to resolve them, that's what Jefferson and Madison were doing. So anyway, anywho, so when I went to the John Birch Society, they came back to me and says, well, we're too busy to make an opinion on this. But little did I know, so I, you know, no answer sometimes is an answer in itself, but little did I know that the leadership was already coming out with a position. They had already started sending out emails to some of their other leaders as, you know, hey, if you're dealing with this guy, and I'm going, why are they doing this? Why is it that they just didn't come and confront with me so that we could sit down in a room and debate? No, let's debate this. I don't know why they have stayed away from me. What they want to do is they want to attack from a distance, ad hominem types of attacks and so forth. So anyway, 2 years ago, when they came, they had, you know, these printed out papers. I've got pictures of these papers that were given to me by those who put on this monthly meeting who they asked me to come and speak. And so anyways, as I was going through this, I realized that the person that was saying, and I knew that what they were saying, this gal that was citing Jefferson's resolutions. And so when we do the resolutions, I'm actually going to read what she read and show you what Jefferson actually wrote. And you go, well, why did they do that? Why did they switch it out? Because there's a huge difference between what she read and what Jefferson actually wrote. Because when I say Jefferson called for committees of conference and correspondence, he did. But she read something that stated he didn't because it was an edited version. And we'll get into the whole details on that. But the reason I went down this whole path is because obviously I've found out that there are some people that probably have an assignment from the John Birch Society to listen because, you know, I'm here spreading hate on them. And here's the thing, because in this last meeting, I'm going to actually put it out here because it's on the table. See, the John Birch Society, I think the reason why they're scared to death of Republic Review is they lose their relevance. There's guys that are putting bread on the table for their families. I mean, this is how they take care of their family. Well, Madison, when he was writing the Constitution, that's not how he was taking care of his family. And this is not how I'm taking care of my family either. This is why this is not an entrepreneurial endeavor. This is not a moneymaker for me. It's not a moneymaker for anybody. Anybody that tries to get into it, and it's happened a few times, and each time we've gone down that path, I've said, stop. We're not doing this to make money. I'm not here, you know, if I get support and I can spend the money on a radio program or a radio station and we can do these things, we can actually grow and we need that money to do that. But we do not need the money to pay people. And I don't want to get to a point unless I actually have a full-time employee, but I do not want to create staff. I don't want overhead because bottom line, when the states take this over, it's done. We move on. I go on. I'm going to start actually getting engaged in how to solve some of these other problems that we have. Because, you know, people need to get problems solved. If not, it's just going to suck the life out of this nation. Anyway, so I put it on the table in this Liberty Forum in Red Pill Expo, South Dakota, just last weekend. It was literally dropped onto the table that, you know, because, and the background on this, so just so you understand, and I might have mentioned this before, but when I was in Wyoming at a GOP convention, a few of the office holders that were Republicans that support Republican View kind of pulled me to the side and they said, hey, look, you know, I love this, but I really don't understand the Constitution like you do. And I don't want to get in trouble to where I could lose my office, you know, where I could actually be kicked out. And I go, if that's the only reason why you're holding up, you should have said something sooner. Because bottom line, each state needs to have a repository of these ratification debates. You need to have a resource office, and until everything becomes canonized, and then when you have to do the deeper digs and dives into the ratification debates, because bottom line, if it's in the ratification debates by the Federalists, it is legally binding. And so they need. So I told them, I said, well, you can create these offices. And what I said last weekend was the John Birch Society could possibly operate these offices, because here's a group of people that really they do understand the Constitution, other than the fact that they don't use the ratification debates. They use the Federalist Papers. But given time, they can actually become very attuned and well-versed on the ratification debates and help codify with the Constitution Party. And the reason the Constitution Party has to do this is because they are not an institution that, you know, has, you know, an academic claim or anything else. They're purists. And I believe that that's what we want. We want a purist. If we had a prophet, if we had, you know, the Christ here, then he could probably give us the purest. But I think the closest thing we can get here in America and on this earth today would be getting the Constitution Party to help pull together the John Birchers and everybody else who, quote unquote, claims to be these foremost experts on the Constitution and our history, and codify what every single line, as it was described in the ratification debates, what every line in that Constitution means. So in other words, you know, going back to Massachusetts, I'm going to just stitch this in here for you so you kind of understand what I mean by this. There are two cases in the Massachusetts ratification debates where it was clearly stated that Congress cannot pass a law and immune themselves from the oppressions of those laws, which in other words, if they pass, let's say they amended the Constitution and they have the power to create a retirement program, which they don't, then they cannot create the Social Security and then immune themselves and give themselves their own retirement. And or if they, but see, because they don't have the power to do that, they don't have the power to do it at all. Anyway, so that would be a clarification that Congress cannot immune itself from health care. If we amend the Constitution, which heavens forbid we ever do that, heavens forbid we ever give them any powers over domestic issues. What we need to do is we need to get every domestic issue ripped away from them and brought back to the states. But that all being said, this is why, you know, I kind of wanted to throw this down here, because I'm not really a hater. You know, I have lots, I believe that most all the John Birchers are really good people. Most all of them. There are those who are just captured by whatever drives them to, you know, actually attack and go after people in what I would say on the low road. They use the low road, low morals. I mean, why are they doing some of the things that they do? Come on, let's stay on the high road, right? Isn't that what we should be doing, is being on the high road, right? And, you know, if I'm not on the high road, because my best anchor to keeping me up on the high road is my wife. Every time I ask her, well, should I do this or should I do that? And it becomes the question of which is the high road. And there we go. We stay up on the high road. Now, we all make mistakes. That's why Christ died for us, right? Because we all make mistakes. But anyhow, fact of the matter is we need to be working together. We need to be putting aside our differences. We need to be uniting. And so it's not that I'm necessarily just hating on all of these groups. I don't. I just think that we all have to have the opportunity to get on that high road together. And, you know, you have to, you know, put it on the table for, you know, other religions and so forth. We need people to live and make their choices, and that they can make the right choices, hopefully. But it's their choice to make either way. That's it. So anyway, wow, I just can't believe I spent all that time. But anyway, I can. And forgive me. Let's get into the news. So U.S. economists have expressed that they like this song, that they love Fanfare for a Common Man by Aaron Copland. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos, and we'll try to drive through these because I want to get through most all of this marketing, news marketing, so that we can get into the content in our next episode. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed that I can stay on point for the rest of the show. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so U.S. economists have expressed their concerns about the rising fear of inflation. So folks, I want you to go back and look at the 70s. And when we were basically moved off of the gold standard, basically moved into an electronic monetary, you know, play system that Nixon was responsible for. It wasn't a Democrat, it was Nixon. So it goes back to showing you that the globalists exist on both sides of this party. It is a uniparty. Anyway, both former and current Treasury secretaries discuss the future of the economy as well as their anticipated issues for economic growth. Now, show me the Constitution where the states delegated the authority to the federal government to control our economy and our finances to that degree. You won't find it. The risk of stagnation, I just want you to understand, so this is the real concern, the risk of stagnation and servicing the debt. What does that mean? If all of a sudden we don't grow, all of a sudden we kind of start deflating or actually, you know, we're not as productive because we've gotten rid of these different sectors, because Biden is no longer producing food here. If you look at Biden's policies, he is actually looking at shrinking our economy. That's worse than stagnation, if you understand what I'm telling you, which means that our ability to service the debt will be more and more of a problem. In other words, we'll end up having to borrow more debt just to pay the debt, and more debt to pay that debt, and more debt to pay that debt. It becomes a very negative cycle. And it becomes a dangerous cycle, because what happens if all of a sudden we can't service the debt and we can't borrow to service the debt? Or if actually, the borrowing to service the debt would come first, and then that means, oh, shoot, we can't service the debt. Or we would have to choose, and I'm going to tell you right now, that the evildoers that are in political offices today would rather throw America and the Constitution into the fire than to actually stop spending money on things that they have no constitutional standing to spend money on. To get rid of all of the EPA, the education, healthcare, all of these things, they can't throw that away. That's their house of cards. That's their empire that they have built. So what that means is that they would throw us out. All of this is unconstitutional, my friends. And this is why this is important. Your state legislatures understand this, that everything that they're doing and trying to get rid of the Constitution is unconstitutional. They do not have the power. The states have never delegated that power to them to do any of this, as well as to dissolve this constitutional republic. So we have to be very clear in sending this message out. And further on in the news, and this is, I think, coming from it's not coming from Seeking Alpha. The Federal Reserve is likely to announce in August or September a strategy for reducing its massive bond buying program. In other words, it's quantitative easing, but won't start cutting monthly purchases until early next year. So in other words, we're going to be doing quantitative easing, taking on more debt. Until going into next year, if we can stop Biden. But he has not yet once even quipped at spending money and putting on debt. This guy is a tyrant, and he is destroying America, period, in a fashion that we have never seen before. He's using executive orders and policies to basically drive Congress, instead of Congress controlling the purse and saying, hey, you know, we have to actually have money coming in to pay for the money you're spending. Oh, heck no. Anyway, after Carter, and I just want you to put this into context, go look into the history of this. After Carter had done some of the same kinds of things and spending some money and doing some things he shouldn't have done, and looking at, you know, the money that they put into the system. Because what is inflation? Inflation is an increased amount of money in currency, or what do you call that? available. That we all spend. It's in the system. It's floating around. It's in your hands. It's in my hands. The more money that everybody gets, and it gets into circulation. That's the word I was looking for. So the more money that is in circulation, that means money is inflating. It's kind of like tomatoes. If you have more tomatoes being produced, then what is the value of tomatoes that go down? It's the same thing with our dollar. When we inflate the dollar, the value of the dollar goes down. And so what happened with Carter is the value of the dollar went down. Well, interest went up. And most Americans, I remember I was looking in, early 80s, how was I ever going to be able to afford a home? Interest rates, they were saying that we're going to go on into the next 10, 15, 20 years without Reagan changing the direction of this country. And, oh, by the way, this was long, this is about the time when everybody was honest with the economy and honest with how all these things were affecting. We started, actually lying, because as you've heard Trump say, those job reports, that's all fake news. Every way they manipulate this, it's all been fake. We do not look at the economy the same way we did in the 70s and early 80s. But bottom line, 12 to 18% interest rates on a home. If you understand amortizing and what that means, America could never afford a home again when you're in that type of price range. Only those who have affluence to that degree can afford to spend that kind of money on paying for a home. Either you buy it outright or the amortization would cost you more than you could make, period. I mean, I don't think your employer gives you a 12 to 18% increase on your salary every year, do they? I mean, you're supposed to be happy with your 1 to 3%, right? Anyway, let's move on. In the news, we also see that the Republican National Committee has claimed that they are not going to participate in the future as far as network debates, basically because, and as they've been working with the Commission on Presidential Debates to make significant changes, unless these changes are made, they're not going to be dealing with the DNC, because the commission has been slammed by the RNC on their selection of debate moderators, as well as last minute schedule changes of the previous debates, as well as, you know, other agreed upon things. Because we saw Biden, they agreed to do this, this, and this, and then all of a sudden they said, no, we're not agreeing to that. And so last minute, they make all of these changes just so that Biden would be able to, you know, look okay. They'd keep, you know, something in his ear to try to prop him up and what have you, you know, to inject him. Remember, they were actually supposed to do one of the debates with no breaks, just to, you know, prove the stamina of the two different candidates. And they had to, they changed going in, oh, well, we have to have a break. Anyway, in addition, so you're going to find this one interesting. Germany last weekend said that it has taken steps towards a bilateral alliance on hydrogen production and trade with Australia to try to facilitate a renewable energy-based hydrogen supply chain between the countries. Now, I've been harping on hydrogen for a long time. We do not want electricity. We need hydrogen to run in our cars. Every car that is operating today can be converted. Like that, I got to move my hand away from the microphone or it'll be, you know, overpowering snap. But anyway, if we ran our cars on hydrogen, you just need to make some minor conversions. If you want to go look at Mythbusters and some of the old videos, every car that is running on even diesel can run on hydrogen. I mean, you don't have to make major changes to a basic combustion engine. It's just the volatility of hydrogen. So you'd need to change the intake and the outtake modifications so that your engine would last longer, so that your exhaust system doesn't rust out on you. But, oh, by the way, if you're running hydrogen, you don't need all of these EPA things. You don't need all of these things for the environment that they have rammed down your throat. Now, you may need these sensors and everything else, but bottom line, we could actually go back to people building engines because the environment now isn't going to control it. And you don't, you know, the reason why we have computers in cars is because of the environment. Because the EPA said, well, we have to be able to monitor and control your emissions because that stuff's bad. And I'm not saying it's good. I'm not going to suck on a tailpipe. But I will tell you this, you put water in that engine or hydrogen and you use that as an exhaust, the need for that computer goes away. And your ability to actually operate an engine with hydrogen, the sky's the limit. Now we could get back to hot rodding and guys working on their own cars and get rid of these computers. Now, if you want to have a fine-tuned piece in, you know, machinery like a Mercedes-Benz that gives you all of the perks, then okay. But anyway, it is said the corporation was about enabling, quote, the import of sustainable produced hydrogen in relevant volumes, which is an important factor to reach our tighter climate targets. My friends, I'm telling you, when the earth is made of two-thirds water, You know, and we can actually be using that as our fuel in combustion engines. Duh. I mean, that's like the double palm face plant, right? I mean, anyway, we'll be right back after these next two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so the reason why this is important, because why is it that the narrative is electrical? Why is the narrative in America, as a matter of fact, you'll hear that in California and all of these other places, they're mandating Uber, Lyft, and that the citizen, must transition. They're actually requiring a transition away from the car you have to an electrical car. My friends, that's a violation of the Constitution. States can't do it, and the federal government can't do it. It's called an ex post facto law. They can't take something that was completely legal when you purchased it and now say you can't operate that. You have to get a new one. Now, what they may do is they may offer you a free car, but they can't make you take it. And as a matter of fact, you know, they can't regulate you either to death, which is what they've been doing to us. Those are all ex post facto laws, the way they've been manipulating us in the environment and energy. And so bottom line, why is this important? Because if you start looking seriously at hydrogen, put aside the difficulties at this point in time in coming up with hydrogen stores and so forth, because as far as I'm concerned, the process of hydrogen, when we can create hydrogen very affordably, in other words, you can do it in your own home, then you will be doing it in your home. And that's why they don't want you to have this technology, because you got water running for your tap. All you got to do is just put it into a little, you know, your own hydrogen maker or your, you know, oxygen hydrogen separator so that you have your hydrogen fuel cell. You go take it out to your vehicle and you're running. All of a sudden, who's making money off that fuel? Nobody is going to be making any money, and they can't control you. Do you understand that? That's one of the reasons why biodiesel has been frowned upon, and that's why they're going after diesel today and trying to get rid of it. Because why? What can you run in a biodiesel engine or a diesel engine, period? Shoot, you can run, you know, your cooking oil. There's all sorts of things, and there are plenty of people that I remember when I first got into diesel in the early 2000s, there were people that were buying these conversion machines that would take old cooking oil that you could just go to the restaurant, they were going to throw it away anyway, and you do them a huge favor by going and picking it up and hauling it to your house, and you convert that, and then that turns into your biodiesel that you run in your engine. Wow, just imagine, nobody got paid. There were no taxes, the government made no money. Do you understand the ramifications of what we're talking? This almost becomes a wild, wild west again. You go out into the west and you can find your own horses, and next thing you know, you've got yourself, you know, enough horses to put a ranch together and become a real cowboy. When horses were wild and available. Well, water is wild and available. I mean, it's out there. Nobody can control it. It falls from the sky. Do you understand my point? Do you understand the direction we are moving is the direction into their arms of control, and we're not moving towards liberty and freedom where people can do whatever they want, when they want, and how they want. If you want to have an electrical car, you can. But if you want to have a hydrogen car, you should be able to have that and remove all the controls and everything else, and you should be able to be free as long as you can function the car within the, you know, because government, like it or not, government can control the movement of vehicles. They can control the highways and those types of things because, remember, you know, the federal government has very limited powers, but the states have all other powers. The states can create roads and highways for us to be productive. And then they can create rules and regulations for us to do that. And they can create taxes and those types of things and or, you know, laws where they can ticket you so that they can help fund the ability to enhance more and more productivity. But we see the exact opposite going on. We see that states and cities are trying to narrow roads. They're trying to slow and hamper productivity. Why? Because all that does is it hampers and constrains our economy at the state level and your ability to be able to get ahead. If they can make, by putting roundabouts in your road, if you live in a rural area and you have to commute into the city and you have to go through 3 or 4 or 5 roundabouts, they've just added 10 minutes, if not more, to your day because you have to slow down. Now, when we have lights and lights, you know, flow in sequence, you know, they could actually have lights flowing in sequence to where people could actually get into town without having to stop, at least to a certain point. But they don't want that. They do want you, they want you to move along to where you're feeling good, but they do want you to stop. And if you go to the Department of Transportation and you look up what traffic calming means, it is about changing behavior, not improving productivity, not trying to improve the process and the system so you can be more productive, more efficient. It is about changing your behavior so that you are less efficient. Do you understand? Government is the enemy. They are moving us in a direction that is antithetical to evolution of man. And, you know, trying to improve enlightenment and all of these things. And I'm just giving you all of this evidence here. What is it going to take to start getting you engaged so that you can start if you have a problem with my argument, 425-270-5416. I'll repeat, 425-270-5416. Now, as we move on, because I think that was a really important dialogue to go down. And so as we move down here into the G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, here's something that's very interesting that you may not have heard. Acting Health Officer Susan Phillip decreed that within the city and county of San Francisco, they will now begin to allow minors 12 and up to consent to receive any vaccine against COVID-19 that has been authorized by the FDA. Now, currently, there's nothing authorized via emergency authorization or fully approved. And it, or what we have going on now. So they did authorize, but now it has to be, you know, either fully authorized or emergency approved. So that's where we're at. But I don't think the FDA has even emergency approved it. And it allows providers to administer the vaccines. The order does require medical professionals to make reasonable attempts to contact legal guardians or parents of a child. But it notes that if consent from a legally responsible adult cannot be reasonably obtained, then the vaccine provider may administer a COVID-19 vaccine to the minor upon receipt of the minor's consent. Are you kidding me? And so I could go on and on, but I'm telling you right now that this takes us down this concept of a Department of Babysitting. Now, there's more ex post facto laws, which I've already told you about, where Uber and Lyft are already going down this path of forcing, or I should say the states are forcing these companies that they have to start shifting their vehicles into electrical vehicles only. Are you kidding me? These are ex post facto laws, like I said before. And so let me find the one thing that I want to actually talk about, the Department of Babysitting and globalism and so forth. This is it right here. Biden followed up with his $2.25 trillion spending on American jobs plan that rolled up. So he's followed up with this with another $1.8 trillion on American families plan. Now, I don't know if this has actually been approved and gone all the way through the Senate. But when this does, I want you to understand this is creating larger footings. They are growing a Department of Babysitting. Okay, so this $1.8 trillion American Families Plan that includes new spending on child care, universal pre-K schools, and 2 years of community college to every American. In other words, they're basically trying to take full ownership of these children. He also called on Congress to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. He pledged to raise taxes on corporations to pay for his American jobs plan. He proposed unconstitutional gun control measures, saying, quote, no amendment to the Constitution is absolute, close quote. We've already talked about this. We've already gone through many of these things. He wants liberalization of immigration policies with a pathway to citizenship for millions of illegal aliens. In other words, recognizing that these invaders, you know, are you giving them recognition as becoming citizens? Are you kidding me? What we have to do, as you see with these laws at the state and city level where the progressives are in control, they are taking away parental rights. They are moving more and more to where the state is going to own and control your child. You may birth it and you may bond with it for the first 5 to 6 months, but go read Hillary's It Takes a Village. If you understand what she talks about in there, they want to assign at, you know, they want to take you from the prenatal side to post delivery to a social worker will actually manage your prenatal side. And then a social worker will come in and be assigned to your child. Read that book. She actually spells out the plan of how to institute a complete Department of Babysitting to protect that their children, not your children now, they look at it as their children, to from being exposed to religious dogma and being, you know, taught things that would not be conducive to the government and the world they are trying to create. In other words, Christianity, religion, and those types of things. My friends, what is it going to take to wake you up? We're losing time. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.